بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the saying of the author, rahimullah. He said, وَأَهْلُ الْكَبَائِرِ فِي مَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ أَهْلَ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَنَكِلُ أَسْرَارَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ ونقيم فرض الجهاد والحج مع عمة المسلمين في كل دهر وزمان ولا نرى الخروج على الأئمة ولا القتال في الفتنة. He said, Rahimullah, the people who do acts of al-kabair, they are under mashi'atillah, they are under the will of Allah. ولا نكفر أهل القبلة بذنوبهم, and we do not pronounce takfir, meaning we do not hold the people of the Qibla to be non-Muslims due to their sins. وَنَكِلُ أَسْرَارَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and as for their secret affairs, we leave them to Allah. He said, وَنُقِيمُ فَرْضَ الْجِهَادِ وَالْحَجِّ مَعَ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and we establish the obligation of jihad and the obligation of hajj with the rulers of the Muslims, فِي كُلِّ دَهْرٍ وَزَمَانٍ, in every time. وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ, and we do not consider it to be correct to rebel against the rulers. وَلَا الْقِتَالَ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ, and neither to fight in times of fitna. So this is regarding the aqidah of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah in opposition to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. Because these two groups, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they differed about both of these issues. The first of these issues is A person who commits a kabira, a major sin, does he remain a Muslim or does he not remain a Muslim? Secondly, the rulers who commit major sins, or the rulers who are corrupt and oppress and take wealth, then should we rebel against them or not? And this is where Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah differed from the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. He said, وَأَهْلُ الْكَبَائِرِ فِي مَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ, that those people who commit the kabair, the major sins, they are under the will of Allah. Meaning we don't say that they are kuffar. We don't say that anybody who does a major sin, he is going to be punished in the fire. We say they are under the will of Allah. So if Allah wills for them and wishes for them to be punished, He will punish them. And if He wishes and wills for them to be forgiven, then He will forgive them. The first matter that we need to know is, what is the meaning of kabair? And kabair is the plural of kabira, and in English it is translated as being a major sin. So the sins are two types, kabair or sagair, the major sins or the minor sins. Of course, on top of this, you have kufr and shirk, then you have kabair and sagair. And how many kabair are there? The ulama differed. Amongst them are those who said there are seven, and others said there are 17 major sins. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when he was asked about the kabair, he said, "Hiya ila sab'ina aqrab," that they are closer to 70 odd major sins. What is the definition of a kabira? What is the definition of a major sin? The ulama, they say, "Kullu dhanbin tarattaba alayhi haddun fi dunya," that a kabira, a major sin, it is every sin for which a punishment in this dunya has been attached to it. Or wa'idin fil akhirati bin nar, or Allah has threatened with a punishment in the hereafter with a fire. Or la'na, or His curse is linked to that action. Or ghadab, or His anger has been linked to that action. So to explain this, what is a kabira? Firstly, any sin to which Allah has attached a punishment in this dunya. So for example, stealing is a kabira, major sin. How do we know it's a major sin? Because there is the cutting of the hand. Drinking alcohol and also al-qadhf, and the meaning of al-qadhf is accusing a believing woman of indecency and fahisha, all of these are from the kabair, from the major sins. How do we know they are from the major sins? Because the sharia attaches a punishment in the dunya to them. So the one who steals, his hand is cut off. The one who drinks alcohol is lashed. The one who accuses a woman of indecency is lashed, and so on and so forth. Oh, secondly, a sin for which Allah has threatened with the fire in the akhir specifically. Like, for example, murder and killing. How do we know murder and killing is a major sin? Because Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Whoever kills a believer out of intent, then his recompense is the fire. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attached the fire to this specific sin, then it is from the kabair. Also, for example, Allah said regarding the one who eats or consumes the wealth of the orphan, He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those people who consume the wealth of the orphans, then they are only placing a fire in their stomachs. We know it is a kabira because Allah has attached the punishment of the fire to this specific sin. And also, if Allah attaches His curse to it or His anger to it. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'an Allah man awa muhdithan. May the curse of Allah be upon a person who accommodates an innovator, who gives shelter to an innovator. And therefore, this is from the kabair. Or if the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attached to a particular sin, it is from the kabair. Also, the ulama mention that if there is a hadith in which iman is negated from that person. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. He said, by Allah, the person will not have iman three times. They said to him, who is this? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. The one whose neighbor is not safe from his evil. So therefore we know this is a major sin, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam negated iman from this person. Also, if there is a sin for which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, such and such is not from us. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُودِ وَشَقَّ الْجِيُوبِ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. The one who hits their cheeks and tears their clothes and their pockets and calls out with the invoking of jahiliyyah is not from us. And this refers to wailing over the dead and complaining about the decree of Allah, like some of the women do. This is a kabira from the kabair, from the major sins. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Laysa minna. They are not from us. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Man ghashyana falaysa minna. Whoever cheats us is not from us. So it is a kabira from the kabair. And finally, another way of knowing whether sin is from the kabair or the saghair is if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam frees himself from that person. So in the hadith, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, or the companion said, Inna Rasulullah bari'a min as-saliqati wal-haliqati wal-shaqqati. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he freed himself and he distanced himself from the saliqah and the haliqah and the shaqqah. The saliqah is that when a woman who, whenever she's touched by a calamity or an affliction, she raises her voice and starts shouting and screaming. The haliqah is that woman, when she's afflicted by a calamity, she shaves her hair. And the shaqqah is that woman, when touched by a calamity or an affliction, she tears her clothes. So therefore, to summarize, how do we know whether a sin is from the kabair or the saghair, whether it is a major sin or a minor sin? If Allah has attached a dunya punishment, a corporal punishment to it, then it is from the kabair. If Allah has attached the punishment of the fire in the Akhirah with this sin, then it is from the Kaba'ir. If Allah has attached His la'na to this sin, it is from the Kaba'ir. If Allah has attached His anger to the sin, then it is from the major sins. If Allah's Messenger negate Iman from that person because of that sin, oh, the Prophet said, Laysa minna, they are not from us, whoever does so and so. Oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam freed himself from the person does that sin, then all of these are from the Kaba'ir. So the issue here is, those people who commit these sins, the major sins, are they Muslims or are they non-Muslims? And the author said that the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, wa ahlul kaba'ir fi mashi'atillah, that the people who commit such major sins, they remain under the will of Allah, meaning they remain as Muslims. And just like any other Muslim who sins, maybe Allah will punish them in the hereafter, maybe Allah will forgive them. And the word Ahlul Qibla is often used to refer to the Muslims. Ahlul Qibla, meaning people who face our Qibla when it comes to Salah, and when it comes to Dua, and when it comes to Dhabh, they are called Ahlul Qibla. And Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they say that a person who commits a major sin, he is mu'minun bi imanihi fasiqun bi isyanihi, or fasiqun bi kabiratihi. That this person, he remains a mu'min because of his iman, but he is a fasiq because of his major sin. Or they say, mu'minu bi imanihi naqisul iman bi kabiratihi. That this person, he's still a mu'min, he's still a Muslim, but his iman is deficient because of his sin. So a person from the Muslims who commits a major sin, neither do we negate from him the name iman, and neither do we give him perfect iman. And the ulama, they use these two terms. They say, فَلَا يَثْبُتُ لَهُ الْإِيمَانَ الْمُطْلَقُ وَلَا يُنْفَى عَنْهُ مُطْلَقُ الْإِيمَانِ. Al-Iman al-Mutlaq, meaning perfect Iman. We don't say that he's a perfect believer. Why? Because he did this major sin. By the same time, we don't negate from him Mutlaq Iman, i.e. we don't take the name of Iman away from him. We don't say he's not a mu'min anymore. And Ahlul Sunnah were opposed by two particular, or three groups with regards to this. The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila on one side, and the Murji'ah on the other side, and both of them oppose each other. So as for the Khawarij, then they said that a Muslim who commits a major sin, then he is a kafir. He's a kafir in this dunya, he's a kafir in the hereafter, and therefore his blood and his life is permitted to be taken. And as for the Mu'tazila, then they said that this person, he's a kafir in the Akhirah, but in this dunya we don't say he is a kafir. So neither do we completely take him out of Iman, and but neither do we enter kufr upon him. But he is fi manzilatin bayna manzilatain, he is in a station between two stations. He is somewhere between Iman and somewhere before al-kufr. But in the hereafter, then he is a disbeliever. And they did this. Why did the Khawarij do this? What are the doubts that the Khawarij had? Firstly, they used those ayat which come in the Quran regarding the disbelievers and applied them to believers. That's the first one. So for example, when Allah said in the Quran, مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعٍ, that they will not have any close friends or any interceders who will be obeyed on behalf of them. This ayah is regarding the kuffar. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ, those people who oppress, i.e. oppression of kufr, then no intercession is going to avail them on in the Akhirah. The Khawarij took these ayat and applied them to the believers. And the second reason why the Khawarij had this ideology is because they would ignore those evidences in which Allah speaks about Allah forgiving the people of Iman, Allah forgiving the people of Tawheed. Whoever says La ilaha illallah with sincerity from his heart will enter into Jannah. All of those evidences they ignored, and they only focus on the evidences which contain a punishment. In the Quran, there are two types of ayat. There are ayatul wa'id and ayatul wa'ad. Ayatul wa'id are the ayat which threaten a punishment. And ayatul wa'ad are those ayat which promise a reward. So if a person ignores one of them and just focuses on the other one, then he will either deviate like the Khawarij or deviate like the Murji'ah. Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they bring both of these types of evidences together and make a ruling in combination of both. For example, Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Whoever kills a believer purposefully, then his recompense is the fire, he will remain in it forever. The Khawarij, they took this ayah and they said, right, because of this ayah, killing, it isn't only a major sin, but it is kufr now, it is major disbelief. And a person who kills another believer, then he's a kafir and he'll remain in the fire forever. Why? Because this is what this ayah says. But they ignored all of the other ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. That Allah does not forgive shirk to be performed with him, but he forgives any other sin which is less than this from whoever he wants. So they didn't combine both of these ayat. And this is a general principle, that whenever a person focuses on one type of ayat and leaves the other ones, then he will be deviated. And then on the and opposing to them were the Murji'ah. And the Murji'ah, they said that actions are not a part of Iman in the first place. So the most extreme of them, they said Iman is you knowing Allah. As long as you know Allah, then you are a mu'min with complete Iman. And doesn't matter what the righteous actions or the evil actions you do, your Iman, it doesn't go up and neither does it go down. And therefore with them, regardless of which actions you do, whether it's the kabair or the saghair, then your Iman does not change. That's the most severe from the Murji'ah. What was their main mistake? Why were they deviated? Because they only looked at the evidences or the ayat of the rewards and they ignored the ayat of the punishment. So for example, many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like he said, "Man mata wa huwa ya'lamu annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." The Prophet said, whoever dies and he knows la ilaha illallah, he will enter into Jannah. So ignoring all of the ayat of the threats and the punishments, they said, okay, as long as a person knows la ilaha illallah, he will enter into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah qad harrama 'ala an-nari man qala la ilaha illallah yabtaghi bidhalika wajha Allah." Allah has made the fire forbidden upon a person who says la ilaha illallah seeking by it the face of Allah. And other ayat like this. But as I mentioned, Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they look at both of these ayat. Ayat al-wa'd wa ayat al-wa'id. We look at the ayat of the rewards of Allah. We look at the ayats which mention the punishment of Allah. And then we bring them together. And finally, there is a principle which is beneficial in aqeedah. And this principle is taken from Al-Imam Malik rahimullah. That people came to him and they asked him, these ayat in the Quran in which Allah says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلُ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Whoever kills another believer out of intent, then his punishment is the fire, he will remain in it forever. So this ayat, that which is apparent, it shows us that murder is now major kufr and it isn't only a major sin. Also that other ayah in which Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Whoever consumes the wealth of the orphan out of oppression, then they only place a fire in their stomach and their abode is the fire. These type of ayat, if we look at them, it shows us that the people who do these major sins will remain in the fire forever. So how do we interact with these ayat? And Imam Malik, he has a principle. He said that these ayat are ayatul wa'id, famurruha kama ja'at. These ayat are ayat of punishment. Take them as they came and carry on. Meaning don't look into them too much. Allah is threatening and punishing with something. So take that threat and punishment and move on. Don't try to delve into it. Don't try to interpret, just move on. And also in da'wah, that for example, we're now studying what is a major sin and minor sin. And we are studying what is major shirk and minor shirk and major kufr and minor kufr. But when we are giving da'wah outside to the awam, then we don't necessarily say this is a major sin or this is a minor sin. To them, a sin is a sin. And they have to stay away from a sin. Because as soon as you say, that this thing is not major sin, it's not major shirk, it's only minor shirk. And the one who does major shirk, Allah does not forgive him, but the one who does minor shirk, Allah forgives him. You've already decreased the threat of this punishment, or the severity of this affair, you've decreased it by giving these classifications. So when we're studying knowledge, then we study the different classifications. But when we are giving da'wah to the people outside, then we don't bring detail. We say it's a major sin, it's shirk, it's kufr. Regardless of whether it's major kufr or minor kufr or major shirk or minor shirk, we call kufr as kufr and shirk as shirk. And this is from, as I mentioned, Al-Imam Ahmad, he said, these ayatul wa'id, these ayat which contain punishments or threats, marruha kama ja'at, pass by them as they come. Meaning just recite the ayat upon the people. He said, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ أَهْلَ الْقِبْلَ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and we do not make takfir upon Ahlul Qibla, the people of the Qibla, meaning because of the upon the Muslims due to their sins. Whether they are minor sins or major sins, then we do not perform takfir upon them. وَنَكِلُ أَسْرَارَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and as for their secrets, meaning as for their intentions and that which is in their hearts, then it is not allowed for a person to delve into it. So we never ever talk about the intention of a person or that which is in the hearts of the people. We only judge a person according to their apparent actions. So if we see, for example, an innovation, then we say this action is an innovation. But we don't say to the person that the reason why you did this innovation is because you don't love the Messenger of Allah and because you want to destroy Islam and you intend by it the destruction of the Sunnah. No. The intentions and that which is in the heart is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we only judge by their apparent actions. And in this, Umar radiallahu anhu, it is narrated that he said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَأْخُذُونَ بِالْوَحِي عَلَىٰ أَهْدِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the revelation would come regarding a person, and we would take the revelation regarding this person. وَإِنَّهُ الْآنِ إِنْقَطَعَ الْوَحِي, but now the wahi, the revelation, it has stopped. وَإِنَّمَا نَأْخُذُ بِمَا ظَهَرَ لَنَا مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ, and now we only judge according to the actions which are apparent. And it's also reported that he said, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِالظَّوَاهِرِ وَنَكِلُ الْأَسْرَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, upon you is only the apparent actions. If a person is to be judged, then he's only judged by his apparent actions. As for the asrar, the secrets, the intentions, the statements of his heart, then this is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after this, the author, he said, وَنُقِيمُ فَرْضَ الْجِهَادِ وَالْحَجِّ مَعَ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي كُلِّ دَهْرٍ وَزَمَانٍ, that jihad and hajj, the obligation of jihad and hajj, they are established behind the Muslim rulers in every time. وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ, and we do not consider it to be correct to rebel against the rulers, وَلَا الْقِتَالَ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ, and neither to fight during times of fitna. He said that jihad and hajj, and ulama mentioned other things like, for example, Jum'ah and the jama'ah, the obligatory prayer, and the eid and the zakah, all of these matters. These matters can only be established and fulfilled if there is a Muslim ruler. So who is it that unites the Muslims on the day of Eid and says this is the day in which we are doing Eid? It is the Muslim ruler. For this reason we see that in the non-Muslim countries, the Muslim community, they are all differing with each other due to the unity behind a single Muslim ruler. Also the Jama'ah and the Jum'ah, and also Al-Jihad. Al-Jihad can only be fought when the Imam, he gives a permission, or when the Wali al-Amr, he gives permission. And also Hajj, and also the distribution of Zakah, it is done with the Muslim rulers. And a person isn't allowed to rebel against the Muslim rulers. Meaning, if there was a Muslim ruler and he's a Muslim, but he has with him corruption, he steals the wealth of the land, he has sins with him, he drinks alcohol, for example, he oppresses the people, then what is our belief regarding this ruler? The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, because they said that anybody who commits a major sin is out of the fold of Islam, then they call to the rebellions against the Muslim rulers who are corrupt. And for this reason, even in our times today, those groups and those people who called to the rebellions against the Muslim rulers, we term them as being the Khawarij, meaning they are following the methodology of the Khawarij. And as for Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then we implement those many, many ahadith which are mutawatir regarding keeping obedience, showing obedience to the Muslim rulers, even if they do major sins, even if they take people's wealth, they have corruption with them, or they beat the backs of the people. And as I mentioned, there are many ahadith regarding this. Mention some of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, innahu sayakunu alaykum umara. He said, verily, there will be leaders upon you. Watarawna athara. And you will see them giving preference to themselves. Meaning, they are not deserving of authority or leadership, yet they give it to themselves. They're not deserving of this wealth, it's the wealth of the people, yet they take the wealth of the people. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, the people, they said, O Messenger of Allah, فَمَا يَسْنَعُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ ذَاكَ مِنَّا. So what should a person do if he comes across this time? He said, أَدُّ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَصَلَى اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَكُمْ. He said, fulfill the right which is upon you. You fulfill your responsibility. And as for your right, then ask from Allah. Meaning, your responsibility is to show obedience to those rulers, even if they are corrupt. And if a person is able to privately advise them, then he advises them. And as for the right which they are taking from you, that they are taking your wealth and they are oppressing you, then you ask Allah for the reward. And for this reason, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, إِذَا كَانَ الْإِمَامُ عَادِلًا, if the Imam is just, فَلَكُمُ الشُّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأَجْرُ, then for you is to show gratitude to him, and for him is the reward. وَإِنْ كَانَ جَائِرًا, however, if the Imam is an oppressor or a tyrant, فَعَلَيْكُمُ الصَّبَرُ, then upon you is patience, وَعَلَيْهِ الْوِزْرُ, and the punishment or the sin is upon him. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَثَرَ وَأُمُورًا تُنْكِرُونَهَا. They will come after me people who will prefer themselves, meaning they will take authority and they are not worthy of this authority. They will take wealth out of corruption. وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا, and there will be certain things that you consider to be evil. So a man said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَمَا تَأْمُرُونَا, O Messenger of Allah, what do you order us to do? And he said, تُؤَدُّونَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَسْأَلُونَ الَّذِي لَكُمْ. He said, fulfill your responsibility towards the rulers and ask for your right from Allah. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اصبروا, be patient, حَتَّى تُلْقُونِي عِنْدَ الْحَوْضِ, until you meet me at the hawd. And also in the famous hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, sahih Muslim, he said, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ. The people, they used to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the good matters. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ, and I used to question him about the evil matters. مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكُنِي, because I was fearful that these evil matters would come upon me. From amongst these matters, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, سَيَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّةٌ لَا يَسْتَنُونَ بِسُنَّتِي. You will have leaders upon you, they will not follow my sunnah. وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهَدِي, and they will not take guidance from my guidance. وَسَيَكُونُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ, and there will be men amongst them. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, their hearts will be from the hearts of الشَّيَاطِينَ, فِي جُثْمَانَ الْإِنْسِ, but in the bodies of humans. So this is the level of evil and corruption and oppression these rulers will have, that it's as if their hearts are like the hearts of shayateen, but the bodies are the bodies of the humans. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa asna? O Messenger of Allah, what shall I do if I live till this time and we see these evil, corrupt, oppressing rulers? What should I do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Isma' wa ati' amirak. He said, listen to and show obedience to your ruler. وَإِنْ ضَرَبَ ظَهْرَكَ, even if he beats your back. وَأَخَذَ مَالَكَ, even if he takes your wealth. فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِعْ, then listen to him and accept his obedience. This issue, السَّمْعُ طَاعَ, showing obedience to the rulers and accepting their authority, even if they are oppressful. Nobody is able to fulfill this unless he has iman in his heart, and unless he is a person who loves the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for this reason, we see that despite these ahadith being mutawatira, there are so many narrations in Sahih Bukhari, and most of them are in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. In fact, Al-Imam Muslim, as is known, he has a chapter in his Sahih called Kitab al-Imara, the book of authority and governance, where he brings these authentic ahadith like the ones we have mentioned. Despite these ahadith and narrations being mutawatir and many, many narrations, yet the majority of people in our time today and the majority of the masajid, they have deviated with regards to this. And this was from the first innovation which ever occurred in Al-Islam, rebellion against the Muslim rulers. And that was just by a word. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was distributing the war booty, and a man called Dhul Khuwaysira, he said, "I'dil ya Muhammad." He said, "Be just, O Muhammad. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَعْدِلْ." You are not being just. Meaning you are not being just in distributing this war booty. The ulama say this was the first instance of khuruj against the hakim. This was the first instance of rebellion against the ruler. So al-khuruj, rebelling against the ruler, it can be done by the sword, meaning physical fighting and bombings, that which we see. It can be done by the pen, i.e. writing against publicly against the rulers and inciting the people, or even by a word and the tongue. Sermons upon the minbar and lectures in which you're talking about the rulers and you're inciting people against specific rulers, you're making takfir against the rulers, all of this is considered as being takfir. And as I mentioned, only a person who has iman in his heart and has love of the sunnah will he be able to fulfill these ahadith. And for this reason, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He said three matters, three qualities. The heart of a believer, of a person of iman, will never have any ghil, any spite or hatred regarding them. He said, إِخْلَاصُ الْعَمَلِ لِلَّهِ. Firstly, making actions sincere for the sake of Allah. This issue, al-ikhlas wa tawheed. As soon as al-ikhlas wa tawheed is mentioned, you will find those people who have shirk with them, that they feel uneasy within themselves. They don't want people to talk about al-tawheed. And other people, they say, is that the only thing you have, just tawheed, as if they feel something in their hearts against al-tawheed. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, qalbu mu'min. Only a person who has iman in his heart. Secondly, wa ta'atu dhawil amr. And showing obedience to the one who has authority. And thirdly, وَلُزُومُ الْجَمَاعَةِ, and sticking to the main body of the Muslims. Al-Jama'ah here, it refers to the Muslims who have given the bay'ah to the ruler. So, when we see around us, and there's a lot that we see nowadays, we see the rulers upon corruption, there's no doubt in this. That many of the Muslim rulers, if not the majority of the Muslim rulers, have great corruption with them and oppression with them. And there are many things which are occurring in the ummah. And we see, for example, how Muslims are being humiliated and many of the rulers are in their palaces and they're not doing anything and the rest of it. These types of issues, we have to look at them through the lens of the Sharia, and we have to implement the Sharia upon these issues. We don't take these issues and implement it upon the Sharia. And subhanAllah, how many times have these types of evidences been mentioned to a person, and then they say, "So what you're saying is that we should let the rulers do whatever they want?" So you're mentioning to them a hadith from Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and they find it difficult to accept it in their hearts, and then they will come with something from logic or aql, and they'll say, "What? So you're saying X, Y, Z?" And you're not saying anything. You're saying that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So the manhaj of the Salaf is that whenever these affairs happen, and when we see all this corruption from the rulers, that we look at the Sharia and the guidance of the Sharia, we take this and we implement it upon these affairs. Not that we look at the Sharia, not that we look at the political affairs and the political situation and then implement this upon the Sharia. So whatever agrees to our aql, whatever agrees to our desires, our political thoughts, then we take it, and whatever doesn't agree, then we leave it alone. And as I mentioned, this issue, it is mutawatir, and it is from one of the distinguishing signs of Ahlul Sunnah and those who oppose them, from the Khawarij and the people of At-Takfir. And we suffice with that. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.